Good morning, Patriots. And it's Friday, August 6th. August. I wish it was August. April 16th. April 16th. That's quite a long time into this new year. It seems to have gone by like it was a quick visit to the theaters, watching a really bad movie. Remember Jerry Lewis's theaters? For those of you that are old enough to remember, Jerry Lewis theaters. Jerry Lewis himself, Mr. Muscular Dystrophy. Interesting guy. Always had some story that he would never really want to tell, his reasons why he did the muscular dystrophy drive. Raised a ton of money for that research, too. Had his own line of theaters. Strange comic. I don't know if you know this or not, but he was actually, he's loved, and I mean loved in France, as one of the great comedians of all times. Honestly, I can't stand his comedy. But the French love him. They've awarded him the highest honor that you can get as a comedian in France. I guess did. I don't think he's alive anymore. When his theaters fell or went bankrupt, it's interesting to see how these things are. I'm not really sure how this works. But it was interesting that a theater that was always a family theater, his whole theater chains were family movies and family theaters. When they went out of business, almost every single one of them was replaced with an adult theater. Remember when I came even to this small town where I'm back living now, one of those theaters, again, it became an X-rated theater. Strange. And maybe not so strange, because maybe that was the real Goliath that was sitting behind the monster the whole time. The true face of what we're dealing with. I think that's a lot of what we're all struggling with right now, is what's the true face of what we're dealing with. And we have to get to understand that true face in the sense of what it is, but at the same time, it's no more than just a face. When we read 1 Samuel 17:28, I'm sorry, 48. When the Philistine arose and came and drew, so this is 1 Samuel 17:48. When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah rose with a shout and pursued the Philistines as far as Gath and the gates of Ekron, so that the wounded Philistines fell on the way from Shaaraim as far as Gath and Ekron. And the people of Israel came back from the chasing of the Philistines, and they plundered their camp. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. But he was put his armor. But he put his armor in his tent. This story has so many layers, and we use it as one of the most profound metaphors, I'd say generally in culture, about being courageous. And it's the story to remind us that no matter how big the Goliath, a small individual can defeat it. So much of the way it's told in Sunday schools and the way the story is portrayed to children is David is somehow this gangly, thin little boy that's stood up against Goliath, but it fails to mention that he's been courageous his whole life, meaning David, that he's saved his flock from the various wild beasts of the land, and he's already done the things he's needed to do to learn to be a warrior, even though he's not formally trained. So that's one of the big lessons in this. Is not that just that David stood up to the Goliath, but that he was not formally trained. In this time that we're in right now, this is a period of time when God is calling his children. And if you notice, none of them have been formally trained. Most of them have not been formally trained as warriors, and yet they're being called upon to be warriors. So not formally trained and putting them in the place of being a warrior. So this is pretty profound because God is very clear that he will use whoever he needs, not because of what their schooling was, but what's in their heart. And what we see about David is it's a fearless heart. It wouldn't matter what size David was. He had already gained the experience in life to be able to take the challenge which God gave him. And then there's that, which is David doesn't shy away from the challenge that God gives him, but instead takes it up a notch. Literally, boldly stands up and even mocks the Philistine. Every one of us right now is being given an opportunity to be a David. There's no exclusion on this. Every one of us is being given an opportunity to stand up to that Goliath. The question is, who is going to take that opportunity? It's not that you need to have gone to school to be a covert operator, or been trained in some great mystery martial arts of the past, ancient styles to learn to be ninja. Or even that you need to learn how to be an expert shot. It's that God is putting before each and every person right now the opportunity to be a warrior. The warrior to stand up to the Goliath. And we're seeing some of the great warriors, but don't just become like the men of Israel and wait for the big victory to happen before you stand up and cheer and chase the Philistines. There's a lot of that going on. There's a lot of that waiting. You know very well, if you were walking the ranks of the Israelites at that time, you'd be hearing a lot of trash talk. Oh, yeah, we got him, man. It's okay. We're just sitting here waiting until the dude gets up. When he's not looking, we're going to smack that son of a gun. Chest thumping. He's not that tough. Come on, man. Our commander's just got us sitting back here chilling. Just wait until he wears himself out. That's all right. We got him. Just wait till he wait. Just will you just wait? He's gonna turn his back. We're gonna run up and stick him in the thigh with our toothpicks, and we'll get him knocked over. Because trash talk's a great way to cover up your own fear, and there's a lot of that going on. And you know, again, I add these sort of anecdotal interpretations of the events because, not because it's in scripture, but because the fact of the matter is humans are very predictable. They're very predictable when it comes to ego, and very predictable when it comes to bravado, very predictable when it comes to covering up the truth of who they really are or trying to obscure what their heart's really saying. But being truthful in our heart is the center point of all of this. And that's, for me, the most powerful piece about David. It didn't matter his stature. Though I can guarantee you, after you read about him, he's not some gangly little squirmy soybean eater. I mean, if you look at some of the pictures that come out of the churches, you have to laugh. I'm serious. Christ is some long-haired hippie wearing sandals in a man dress, almost like he doesn't have any strength or anything. And you've got David, like some little beanstalk kid that's been sucking on the soy bottle his whole life. A little homely dude. I mean, come on, these people are moving around the mountains. They're protecting their flocks from wild beasts. Christ was a carpenter. We know acacia wood and olive wood and myrtle wood all grow in that region. You might want to check out how hard myrtle wood is sometimes. I did a myrtle wood top for a custom desk one point. I am not exaggerating with what I tell you. I sanded that top for 5 days. And I would, besides the other working, but I put in like, this is with electric sanders and using various grits of paper. I was working on this in the evening, 5 days, at least 2 hours a day to get it to shine and smooth out the way I wanted it to. That's 10 hours of sanding with an electric sander, different types of sanders. This is hard stuff, and Christ is out here working with that wood. I can always hear someone's going to say, where does that say that in the Bible? I don't have to worry about what it says in the Bible. It happened to be what wood grows in the region. We know this. So, again, we're dealing with people that are sinewy and their muscles are well developed, not eating. And the other thing is they're also not sucking down on the protein drinks and the steroids to try to buff out to be big. Look how big my chest is today. If you've ever dealt with some of those dudes, I know the exceptions to what I'm going to say, so this is why I can say it. I know a few of those guys that are beefed out like that, that literally would take the enemy and crack their head off their neck and pour cereal in what's left of the hole and smile and do exactly what David did. So there are some out there that I know that are like, will take the head of the Philistine off. They just won't use their sword. They'll just use their, like, their little index finger because they're so strong and so awesome. But we have this whole concept of overcompensation, and then we get to the third level of David, and it's a young man being bolder than most of the men in the army. His age is irrelevant. It's the fact that he has one in this ranks of armies who is not even armed. He's armed with a stone and a leather sling. And y'all know, I hope, that when we talk about the sling or the, you know, it's just a leather strap. He takes that stone and he slings it out there. It's a real art form. I've done it. Not that I'm good at it, but I've done it. Man, I'll tell you, it's hard to do, to master them. But when they master it, are they ever good at it? So we've got the limitless, fearless approach by somebody who has experienced life in in what it is to be ferocious, to protecting his flock, not trained to be a soldier, but has more battle experience than any soldier on the line, because he hasn't had the privilege of having his sword and his shield and all of his buddies next to him. He's a loner. He's out here in the middle of the world doing what he has to do to survive and making the choices every single day and valuing those choices of whether he's going to live or die. You have a guy that is given an opportunity by God to stand up to a monster, a beast, something bigger than him, and doesn't see it as a monster or a beast. Just sees it as yet another one of those things he has dealt with his whole life, and so has an absolute fearlessness in his heart, not because he was trained, but because that's what the truth of his heart is. And his ferocity is completely through and through him. He doesn't need muscles or the steel sword. He has something else that's stronger than anything in the field. And that's his conviction to faith in God. And he knows it doesn't matter what happens, he's going to win. He doesn't do this thing of, well, with God blessing us, maybe we'll win. He doesn't do that. He just basically he absolutely mocks the Philistine. And in mocking the Philistine, he reminds the Philistine that he's going to kill him. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and a javelin, but I come to you with the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly we know that the Lord saves not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." Why is that so difficult for us? Why is that so difficult for so many to put the true faith of this victory in God's hands and to know that there is no possible way that anything is going to stand in the way of the Lord? Why do people wring their hands and worry about, oh, they're going to come after us, it's going to get tough, they're going to start rounding us up, they're going to start giving us lack of access to food, they're going to start creating a past situation, it's not going away? Why do we even worry? The defiance of this is, you go ahead and bring that pass. I'm going to deliver your head to God. Because at the end of the day, you are defiling God's name and his gifts to us. So why is it that you threaten me when I am a son of God? I am a child of God. Why is it you threaten me? Because when you threaten me, I just mock you. I'm going to mock you for your stupidity and your lack of understanding of who the one God, the one living God is. That's who we are, patriots. And you don't need to go and commit yourself to 4 years of training in the army to be an army ranger or an airborne paratrooper or a marine or an air force person or a navy sailor. You don't have to do any of that. You don't have to be part of special operations teams. You don't have to have some super special skills on how to breach a door or unlock a lock. or how to draw with a silenced pistol and shoot, empty a magazine in under 5 or 10 seconds and put all the shots within a ring of less the size of a quarter and 100 meters. Okay, yeah, those are some crazy skills, and they exist, okay? But that's not what you're being called to do. You're being called to stand up to an enemy that's trying to steal your freedom that God gave you. And it's like we're timid to walk around this peace. It's like, I don't know, man. I can't be too angry with these people. I gotta be passive. David loved his people. And more importantly, I think David, in my reading of this passage in several different versions, meaning ESV, KJV, and others, he gets indignant because he's like walking up going, what? You can almost feel it. He doesn't say this, okay? But you can almost feel it. It's like, what is going on here? I'm told to bring something to my brother and y'all are sitting on your butt. What is your problem? And of course, you know, he's counseled. It's like, you, this is not your job, David. This is our job. Well, it's looking around going, you're failing. I don't know what your problem is, but y'all are sitting on your butt cowering at some retard over here that comes clumping in with a big old spear and shield because you're afraid of what he's going to do. And yet you all are children of God. So what's your problem? I'll show you how it's done. So he does. And he tells this big old lumping giant exactly what he's going to do to him. So where is that within us? Where is that intensity that has no fear, that stands up to this Goliath and has no problem telling it? You come near me, you come near my family, you come near my community, you bring that needle to you, I'm going to deliver your damn head, and it's going to be the way it is. I told my sheriff that. I said, anybody comes near me with a needle, the only thing you're going to meet is a gun. You're not going to force it. I'm not playing. This is war. If we start making those hard lines, and you know, people are going to say, well, whoa, that's bad. That's violent. No, it isn't. Here's the deal. You're not telling them you're going out and hunting. You're telling them something pretty doggone simple. You're trying to defile the creation that God created in me, a perfect creation. You're going to try to suggest to me that you're going to take away my rights. You're going to suggest to me that you're going to give me back my God-given rights because you're going to tell me the only way I can get there is by taking an injection that's experimental, that's killing people on currently every single day. You're going to try to mandate that my God-given rights only come back to me by way of something your institution created to modify the genetics that God gave me that are perfect. Let me tell you my response. I'm going to deliver your damn head. Because this is a defying against God himself. So the answer is no. You're not going to win this day, and you need to make a choice. And that's essentially what David has done, is he's given Goliath a choice. And then the best part is that when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, what does David do? David runs quickly toward the battle. He doesn't stand by. He doesn't wait. He's like, I warned you already, brother. And he runs toward the battle to meet the Philistine, in other words, Goliath. And David put his hand, as he's running, he's grabbing his stone, and he puts it in his sling, and he throws that stone and strikes the Philistine right square in the middle of the head, because he knew all along that God would deliver him and show him where to go. I'm telling you, these passages to me always get deeper in meaning, and it's because the intensity of the battle is real. And it is a place right now where we see the courage and boldness. if we've been around the Bible, everybody's read this story or heard this story in some fashion. I would say there's not a person in our culture that doesn't know the story of David and Goliath. Maybe they've never read it in the book, but they know the story in general of David and Goliath. But the words are profound. And they're fearless because David understands, for the battle is the Lord's. And what we have right now is a whole bunch of people out here that keep thinking the battle is me. I'm all alone. I'm afraid of what's coming. No, the battle is the Lord's. This is your place with God, standing up to Goliath. So make a choice. You can be the Israelites sitting on your butt on the side, doing the vibrato thing and beating on your chest. It's going to be a good day when we kick the tail out of that Goliath. It's going to happen one of these days. Okay, are you going to battle? Not yet, but I'm telling you, we're ready to fight. Okay, when are you going to fight? Not yet, but we're ready to fight. That guy's not going to intimidate me. There's a whole bunch of that going on. And then here's the other part of it. According to this story, David was a fool for bringing a stone and a sling without his armor and his shield and his sword to the battle. He wasn't a soldier. He was not equipped for that. I'll give you a parallel. How many men do we have in this society? Oh, yeah. How many men do we have in this society that do that chest thumping and have told me and the many others, you come near me and my family, I'm telling you right now, I got myself an armory. I'm going to be right in your face and I'm going to lay down enough shield of lead. You're never going to know what's happening. You're going to be decimated. They'll never take this country away from me, because take this country away from me, I swear, you're going to peel it from my cold, dead fingers. Damn right. No way. Okay. Now we've got this going on. Man, Biden, he just signed a paper and he's going to threaten my guns. Soy Eaters Anonymous. Where's the David? Where are the men? Just asking. Because apparently it's no different than then. Because David's not picking up a sword, because people now are not picking up guns, somehow we've given our whole batch of a bunch of men across this country an excuse to sit out this round. I'll get it when it come. You don't worry about it. It's going to happen when it happens. But when it happens, I'm telling you that, it's going to be all hell's going to break loose. That's just nothing but chest-thumping nonsense. This fight that we're in is as real as it gets. The casualties are not any less than a battlefield, but they take different forms. It is people losing their livelihoods. It is people getting destroyed in the media and their reputation. It is people that are giving in and collapsing to give in to this injection, that are putting their lives away and wasting them away now because they've got some DNA modifying soup in their veins. We are seeing children die, literally, because idiot parents decide that they want to give them the injection as a part of this great experiment. And then they're mourning and bemoaning the death of their child. Where are the damn warriors? Where are the Davids in our culture? When are people going to stand up and be David? It's not one David. It should be millions of Davids. And it needs to be pretty damn clear to everybody what's going to happen when you take on God's children. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. For I have come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. You're part of the armies of God. And this institution that we're part of, these government officials that want to threaten you, these little minions that are out here threatening your God-given rights. They're trying to intimidate you. They're trying to put fear in you. They're trying to make you succumb to their will because they have a God complex. They've come to you with a threat equal to a sword. They've used a pen instead of a javelin and a spear. They've written documents, orders, directions in which you must follow. They've employed an army of spineless men and women with badges and guns to threaten people, to accuse them or threaten them to take away, using their leverage to take away people's God-given rights. They're hand puppets for an institution that's no other than another form of Goliath. We're afraid to be bold in their face. We're afraid that we might say something that might get us, get handcuffs put on you. That they might sweep us up. That the images and of all the fear that Hollywood's pumped into your head, that you're going to get a SWAT team kicking in your door and dragging you out in the street and slamming you onto the pavement and taking injections out of their bag and shooting you up with some mandatory inoculation while the neighbors stand by and cower in fear. Well, they've done a great job of mapping out the way you're acting. And honestly, the Philistines did an amazing job of creating that same psyop with Goliath so that the men of the army cowered in their vibrato of sword and shield as they step back and it's like, oh, he's, yeah, we got it. We'll get him one of these days. This is the time in which we fight. This is the time in which we stand. This is the time in which you are bold and you are David. You don't get another opportunity. You don't get to rewind. David doesn't get to come in here and to this day and go, oh, hey, Mr. Goliath, I know you say you're tough, but I'm going to be back next week. And when I come back next week, I'm going to be really mean. So you better watch out. You don't be mean to my Israelite brothers here. I'm going to go out and I'm going to go tend to my flock and then I'm going to come back. And if you are still doing this, you naughty little boy, I'm going to do something to you. Heck no. David tells him right to his face. I'll put it in simpler words. You're a damn fool, you big ugly oaf. You thought you could come here and intimidate these people and intimidate me. I'm going to stand up for them. I don't care what they're doing. They're sitting on their butt, but you're not going to touch me. I'm a son of God. And you defied the Lord of hosts, the one God, the one living God. And I've got news for you. I'm not worried about what you do to me because he's going to win because this is the Lord's battle. And in the end of the day, he's going to give me the right to take your head and march it through the streets and let the birds and the beasts eat your body. And that's going to be the victory that God gives me because you are so insolent that you think that you can tell us that you're going to threaten us and you seem to forget that we're part of God's army. So I got news for you. You can walk or you can be served up for food. But one way or the other, your day's done as of now. If you had 70 million people with that attitude, how long do you think this nonsense with the Fauci circus would last? How long do you think this nonsense from your state is trying to threaten to take your rights, force you to put on a COVID pass? How long do you think this would last? Because I guarantee you one thing about the politicians, They're hiding behind that Fauci. They're hiding behind the media. They're hiding behind the threats of the paper. When the people make a decision to go forward and do their thing, there's no stopping that. It just needs the Davids to finally get them off the bench, to start acting like people and patriots once again. Oh, God's ready to move. Don't even question that. And God will move. Don't question that either. But here's the question. You want to move with God or do you want to try to catch up? Because the last time I checked, anytime people had to catch up with God, it never really works out real well. You can be with God in this fight. You can be bold with God in this fight. And you can turn this over. For this is the battle of the Lord. And you can trust in that and you can be bold and stand up fearlessly and be David, knowing that God is with you in all of this. Or you can be that chest thumper, or worse, the meek that hide in the corner. And you can talk trash and do nothing, or you can be bold and you can be David and drive this cabal right into the corner. We have the numbers. We have the ferocity if we want it. And guess what? We have got the biggest, baddest, most vicious, most ruthless, most loving force in the universe on our side. We've got God. For the battle is the Lord's. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for this mighty moment, for us to have the strength of David in each of our hearts, to stand and know that this battle is not ours alone, but it is yours, and the victory will be yours in this day. All we have to do is to trust, to be bold, to be fearless, to not cower to the Goliaths that are trolling around our world, trying to take away the God-given rights that you gave us, Lord, trying to promise us freedom and sovereignty, blackmailing people and blackmailing us to take an injection which will modify the very perfection that you created. This is a defiling of your name for those that do that. And we have come to you in the name of the Lord, in your name, Lord, to stand this line, to stand up against this Goliath, and to be David, to find our stones, to sling our stones, and to knock this giant to its ground. And as we stand upon its corpse, to tear its head from its body, to let it be devoured by the beasts of the earth and the birds, and to hoist what remains for everyone to see and to witness that there will be no more Goliaths in our day. Give us that strength, give us that courage, give us that clarity, and let us never bow. Let us only run to the fight, reaching for our stone fearlessly to take the giant off its feet. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. Be David. Don't be the cowering army of the Israelites. Don't give yourself excuses. God gave us all gifts and talents for this time. They are different. They are unique. And that's why his army is so powerful. You can hit the enemy in so many different ways. The enemy cannot defend against the army of God. The army of God has dimensions of strike that are unimaginable. And it takes so many different forms because each one of us is empowered with a gift and a talent, or more than one at times, that God is calling upon right now to use as our stones to strike the Goliath and to strike him at once without mercy. And when we strike the Goliath, ruthlessly as we do, we shatter that control. The Goliath falls. We tear his head from his body. We let its body be devoured by the beasts and the birds, and we hoist that head up for all to see to remind them that there is no tyranny that will ever stand between us and God and our God-given rights. So when you grab your next cup of coffee, make it strong. Make it as strong as you can drink. Forget the sugar. Forget the cream. Make it put a chill down your spine. Have a sip. Look up to the Lord. Raise your hands and say, "Send me." And then buckle up. Because we're going to wage this war in His name. And we should be waging it already, but is now the time. Wage this war in God's name. And let hell rain down upon those who try to steal this land from us. Keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. We walk with God. We are God's children. We walk fearlessly on this earth. We walk without any hesitation about why we are here and what we are about. Bring the rain. Do not cower. Do not doubt. Do not waffle. God is giving us all a single path ahead. It is a path to victory, undeniable. And let this evil now face the true wrath. It's not coming from some chariot in the sky. It's coming through us. And that wrath will rip its head from its body. And when we are done, there will be no question what the message is to the rest of the world. And in the end, the world will bow to God Himself. Prayers up. God will be with us. He is always with us. He will never forsake us. And understand this. When you read this story of David and Goliath, understand what these words mean. In the end, God wins. Yes, He does. And when He wins, He makes His victory total and complete. Let God flow through you. Let God give you that strength in David. And let us slay this Goliath that stands before us and threatens the world and threatens our families and threatens the gifts that God has given us. Have a blessed day. I'll be back in, 15 minutes. I guess I got going today. 15 minutes, I'll be back for a continuation of the Friday Unleashed on Storm Dispatch next program. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Never give in. Until the next time, God bless and out for now.
And embers fly wherever we were going. Fire and ice, we built our lives on survival. Guiding past the
to what we build, absolution. East of Eden, running with the wolves to freedom. If you listen, hear the whispers with the